friendship's sweeter. Knowing you're near, so good to see you. Hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Psalm 96, verse 1 says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day." Amen. Hey, good day to you. It is Thursday, this 25th day of October 2018. Some encouragement from God's Word, Psalm 96, verses 1 and 2. Warm it up. I don't know about you. Warm it up to some nice hot coffee right now. Yep, summer's gone. It's a distant memory. That is for sure. Yeah, we are 25 days into the month of October. Next thing you know, it's going to be November. And in fact, this month, October, is Pastor Appreciation Month. And friend, I hope you have a chance to let your pastor know how much you appreciate him. In fact, I came across an article entitled 27 Ways to Bless Your Pastor for Pastor Appreciation Month. In fact, this past Sunday, our church really did a good job of just making me feel special. They sent me nice cards and had a nice little cake reception as well, so that was a good time. But I have this article here from Lifeway, 27 Ways to Bless Your Pastor During Pastor Appreciation Month. Now, if you want to get a copy of this, go ahead and shoot me an email. I'll send you the link, joey@greatnewsradio.org, joey@greatnewsradio.org. I'd love to get this off in your hands, but there's just many ways you can just let your pastor know how much he means to you. A gift card, just a note of encouragement, a thank you card, offering to put gas in his car, and just little stuff like that goes a long way, I guarantee you. So if you want a copy of this article, I'd love to send it on over to you. Again, joey@greatnewsradio.org. Well, if you can, keep our family in prayer. We are going to be moving into a more of a larger home here. Actually, we're moving on Saturday, and we close next week. So I'll be working muscles on Saturday that I didn't know I had. So I would greatly appreciate your prayers. And it's amazing how expensive it is. You got fee this and closing fee that, and this to pay for, that to pay for. And whew. So if you can keep our family in prayer, that would mean so much. The Great News Radio Children's Choir will be meeting tonight from 5:10 to 6:30. You can get more details on that at our website, greatnewsradio.org. Well, next Wednesday is October 31st, and it's a day where people celebrate Halloween, and lots of movies on ghosts and demons and death have been playing on TV and will through the end of the month. And today I thought we'd take a look at a biblical view of death. What happens when we die? That's coming up right after this on the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends.
Oh, he's made me glad. I will rejoice, for he's
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's edition of Mark and Friends. Joey Kroll got my cup of coffee here. And death! Death! You know, I was reading the other day that 106 people die every minute. 55,000 people die every day. 4.5 million people die every month. 56 million people die every single year. And today we're going to be taking a look at a biblical view of death. A biblical view of death. You know, it's amazing. When you sit down at a table with 20 people with different backgrounds, different beliefs, different worldviews, I can almost guarantee that if you would ask them their view of death, it would all be different. Everybody has a perspective or view on death, but let's see what the Bible says about death. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, we're going to take a look at a biblical view of death. You know, this is the time of the year, as you're turning to Luke 16, this is the time of the year where people look at ghosts and goblins and demons and death and talk about stuff that pertain to Halloween. But today, we're going to take a look at what the Bible says about death. Luke chapter 16. Verse 19 says, "There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, who feasted every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried in Hades, being in torment. He lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side, and he called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame.'" Now, friend, this passage, let me just get over this hurdle here. This passage has nothing to do with rich people going to hell or poor people going to heaven. Jesus didn't share the story saying that riches will send you to hell, but he does share that a rich man died and went to Hades. Now, it's my understanding that Hades is a place where unbelievers go. It's not technically hell. Hades is something of a waiting place for unbelievers until the final day of judgment. In fact, in Revelation shares that those who are in Hades will be thrown into the lake of fire. And friend, that is where the rich man was, in Hades. And the poor man, Lazarus, was at Abraham's side, and as some translations call it, Abraham's bosom. And understanding the context here, being at the host's side and a banquet in this time was a place of honor. To sit next to the host at a banquet was a place of honor. Think of John, who sat at Jesus's side at the Last Supper in John 13. It was a place of honor. And so we have two people who died who went to two very different places. Let's take a look at some few false beliefs on death. One, you do not become an angel. You know, you do not, when you die, when I die, when we die, when anyone dies, any human, we do not become an angel. Now, I'll tell you what, it is a pretty thought. Let me just be honest with you. It is a nice thought to know that if somebody, particularly a child, if they pass on, it's a pretty thought to know that they turned into an angel. But friend, the Bible mentions nothing of that. The Bible says that we are currently, in Psalm 8, verse 5, tells us we are currently made a little lower than the angels. But one day, we will be higher than them. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 3 says, "Do you not know that we are to judge angels?" Scripture indicates that our status one day will be above that of angels. And friend, nowhere in God's word do we find humans turning into angels upon death. And there is another common view, is purgatory. That's a false view of death. We do not go to purgatory. There's a belief that purgatory is a place where souls pay off their sin debts and are cleansed of the sins and transgressions that were not fully forgiven in their lifetime. In other words, it's the belief that you're not bad enough to go to hell, but you're not good enough to go to heaven. And so you go to this in-between place where you must work off your bad deeds, or someone must pray you out and into heaven. Now, friend, 1 John 2:2 says he is the atoning sacrifice. Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, "For what I have passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." Friend, God's Word tells us time and time again that Jesus Christ is the only one who suffered for both you and me for our sins. There is no in-between place when a person dies called purgatory, where they have to work off their sins. Friend, that was taken care of 2,000 years ago. Scripture teaches that when a person dies, they are either separated from God or they will be in the presence of God. Another common falsehood is you become a wandering ghost. Friend, you do not become a wandering ghost. Some people believe that if a person dies in a home, their spirit or their ghost stays in that house forever. And if the new owners of that house, they make a change that they're not happy with, the ghost will haunt them until they put back the house the way they'd had it and like it. And friend, that's nowhere in the Scripture. In fact, if there's a ghost in your house, that is not a human soul. That is a demon from the pit of hell. You don't become a wandering ghost. You don't go to purgatory. You don't become an angel. And friend, you certainly don't become reincarnated. The Bible never mentions people having a second chance of life or coming back as different people or animals. The Bible says it is appointed for man to die once, and then comes the judgment. So those are some common, there's a whole lot more, but those are some of the more common falsehoods of death. But let's take a look at three truths today about death. Truth number one is you will die. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, "And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes the judgment." Friend, we will die. I know they got pills to make us live longer. I know there's foods you can eat to live a fuller, longer life. But one day you and I, if Jesus does not return, will go to the way of the grave. The Bible says we will die. Truth number two, believers will be in the presence of God. Believers will be in the presence of God. Look, let's look back at Luke chapter 16, verse 22. It says, "The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side." Remember at a banquet, the place of honor would be right next to the host of the banquet. Now, Abraham was the father of the faithful. Jesus is talking to the Jews here in this story, in this account that he's sharing. And Abraham is the staple of all the Old Testament saints. He's the brightest star in the Hebrew heaven. Now, Lazarus was feeding on crumbs, Luke 16 tells us. And now he is with the highest of the high at a banquet in glory. That's what heaven's like, friend. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Think about that, friend. For a child of God, for a person who followed Jesus Christ, when they pass on, they will be in the presence of God. And heaven, my friend, is a place of no mores. No mores. No more doctor's appointments. No more depression. No more headaches. No more struggles. No more heartaches. No more bills. No more brokenness. No more pain. No more backaches. Believers will be in the presence of God. And truth number three, unbelievers will be in torment. Look back in Luke 16, verse 23, and in Hades, being in torment, talking about the rich man here, being in torment, the Bible says, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side, and he called out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. He was in anguish. He was in torment. Jesus was speaking of hell in Mark 9:47. He's speaking of hell in verse 48. He says, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. See, friend, most of the time when you cut a worm, it regenerates itself. Now, I was watching a YouTube video for like 20 minutes. There are certain places, if you cut a worm, it does not regenerate, but most of the time when you cut a worm, it regenerates. You just keep cutting it and it regenerates itself. It seems like it never dies. See, one friend, when a person is in hell, the pain is brutal. It feels like they are being murdered and killed. And feeling that pain of being murdered and killed, but they will not die. The pain continues and it never stops. Jesus said, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And friend, the sad reality is, over 2,000 years later, Lazarus still does not have his drink of water. Truth number one, we will die. Truth number two, believers will be in the presence of God. And truth number three, unbelievers will be in torment. Friend, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. That's spiritual death. That's hell. That's eternal separation from God. For the wages of sin is death. But watch this. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The jailer asked Paul, what must I do? What must I do to be saved? And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. That is where you go down on your knees and you admit to Almighty God that you've sinned against him. You've broken his heart. You believe on him as the only one who can save you from your sin. And you confess him as Lord and Savior of your life. Yes, the wages of sin is death, but praise God, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, 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 precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust You, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, my precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more and more.
That's right, music from Alan Asbury, and 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Hey, it's Joey Kroll here with you. Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Mark and Friends. I still have that article, by the way, 27 Ways to Bless Your Pastor During Pastor Appreciation Month. I'll send that on over to you. Just shoot me an email, joey@greatnewsradio.org. Mark and Jason in the studio tomorrow to celebrate your Friday. That's tomorrow, 7:32 a.m. Central Time. Until next time, just remember that you are salt and you are light, and you are the hands and feet of Jesus.